Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Summer and routines. Sounds like an oxymoron, right? Like the whole point of summer is that you don't have to do the stuff that you have to do during the school year, during the traditional work year. Summer is supposed to be a time of flexibility and relaxing and going with the flow and all the fun things, right? Have you ever watched the show Super Nanny? So I used to watch the show Super Nanny, and every single time, like minute 7 of the show, Super Nanny comes in after she's made her assessment, and up on the wall goes this gigantic schedule. And 9 times out of 10, she says to the family, "The problem around here is you don't have a schedule." And I used to watch that show. I watched it in my 20s when I had young children. I was like, schedule? We don't have to have a schedule. Like, the whole point of being a stay-at-home mom or having summer is that we don't have to have these schedules. And Super Nanny would always say, you need to have these schedules because it provides predictability and structure and you understand what to expect. And so then there isn't as much nebulous time. And of course, Super Nanny is right. And when we go into summer with the expectation that this is going to be a great summer year, and we don't think about the routines that we need to put in place and schedules that would benefit our family, well, yes, we have a lot of flexibility and we have a lot of time to go with the flow and do anything we want to do. For some people, it creates uncertainty and anxiety and boredom. And while you have the freedom to do anything, I find often I spend the majority of my time trying to figure out what we're going to do next because I really don't know. And it's not very productive time. Now, the summer is my least productive season personally, and I'm a productivity nut. And I know for most people, summer is your least productive season. Even if you're a productive person, in the summer, the productivity just kind of goes out the window. So if you're already not a very productive person, then you're just kind of just swimming through the summer and you end up at the end of the summer with a great tan, but really not a lot done. Not that we need to get a lot done. The purpose of this podcast is not how can I be more productive in my summer. The purpose of this podcast is how can you enjoy the flexibility and the longer days and the more free-flowing summer days while still maintaining your sanity and not having children who are bored and also you not being bored. So while we're not going to put in a strict structured day like Super Nanny would from 9 to 9:15 and 9:15 to 9:45 all the way through your day, what I would like for you to consider are about 5 different routine type days that will flow in and out of your summer depending on your stage of life, the age of your kids, how much structure you need, if you're an at-home mom, a working mom, if you're not a mom at all of those things. Now, I will say I do get quite a few emails that say that my podcasts are very focused on someone who is at home all day. You know, some of us work 9 to 5, Lisa. You talk a lot about children. I don't have children. You have a very Americanized middle class worldview of your life. I am a single mom, or I live in a different part of the world, or I don't have a 2,000 square foot home. I live in an apartment. I want to address that just for a minute. I am trying to be more encompassing and think about all of the different people who are listening to the podcast as I am relating these stories and ideas. However, like even right now, I'm thinking about it and I'm getting a migraine because if you talk to everybody, the message gets so politically correct and diluted that it's harder to get the point out. So yes, 100%. I am a full-time working mom, but I work from home and I own my own business. And so I have a lot of flexibility and I understand that. And it is not everybody's position in life. And I had many years where I worked part-time and I was a stay-at-home mom. So that's just the perspective that I come from. You can extrapolate these ideas out into your situation. Know that I mean no offense at all by, you know, how I was raised and how I am running my family. Just take the best that you can and leave the rest. That's what I do. Like, I listen to male podcasts of people who are millennials without kids. I get great nuggets of information out of all of those podcasts I listen to. They have no idea what it's like to be a middle-aged woman with kids and debt. Like, they just don't know, they don't understand that perspective, but I still get a lot out of it. So I just wanted to say that up front, because I'm going to give you tips for moms who are home in the summer. Basically, this is going to be very mom focused, but you can extrapolate out from there. With that said, the number one thing I would like you to consider is, if you do have children, even if they are like my kids last year were 15 and 17, and I had a mother's helper last summer, so it's not necessarily a babysitter position. What kind of help and support do you need this summer in order to do what you need to do? I am a full-time working mom that has flexibility, but I am a full-time working mom. So last summer with a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, I hired basically a nanny. And you would say, why? Why would you need to have that expense, Lisa? Well, here's why I needed to have that expense. Number one, there was a lot of random driving that had to be done because neither of my children were driving. So this person drove my kids wherever they wanted to go. And at first they were very resistant because I basically hired them a babysitter and they were in high school and she's like 2 years older than them. Until they realized that I had a fast food budget in there and she was allowed to take them to the store, do shopping, drop them off at the movies. Like it wasn't like they were only allowed to go to camp or work. Like she would literally drive them anywhere a mom would drive their kids. Then they were like, oh, we really like this babysitter. So that was number one. All that random driving that had to be done during the day that would have interrupted my work day, she did that. Then number two, there were some household projects that I wanted done that really had been on my list and on my list and on my list, and they were not getting done. Like all of my scrapbooks, you know, I have over 100 traditional scrapbooks. I wanted those scanned because we just had Joey's graduation party and I needed the photos scanned. And I knew that the summer before that I was never going to have the time to scan all these albums. So literally this mother's helper came over for my teenage children. She did dishes, she did laundry, she scanned my scrapbooks, she drove my kids. That was primarily what she did, and she worked for me about 15 to 20 hours per week. And you may think one of two things. One, that's absolutely ridiculous. Or two, that's brilliant. If you think it's brilliant, it is brilliant. And you're paying babysitter rates for someone to help you with all of your household projects that you want to get done. Things that have been on your to-do list forever. I knew I needed to have those scrapbooks scanned. I needed help driving my kids. I knew I needed to find extra time. So she started doing the laundry. That's the first time I stopped doing laundry. And she cleaned up the kitchen every day. She also would do any other random work projects that I had, like because I didn't have somebody running our shipping department at that time and I was just starting to have physical products. She would do stuff with the physical products inventory as well. So that's what a mother's helper would look like for a full-time working from home mom of teenage kids. Now, I have almost always had summer help with my kids, some kind of a babysitter in the summer. And I got this idea because when I was a teenager, I marketed my babysitting services to my babysitting clients. So during the school year, I would babysit on Friday, Saturday night, Sundays, whatever. But in the summer, I did not want to get a traditional job. Number one, it did not pay as well as my babysitting did. And number two, I wanted the flexibility of creating my own schedule. I was an entrepreneur from birth, basically. So in May, I would go to the families I babysat for, and I babysat for four families. And I would go to each of them, and they played tennis and golf and belonged to country clubs. They were all doctor's wives. And so they had, they got their hair done, they got their nails done, they did all of those things. This was the 80s. And I recognized that during the school year, they had a lot of freedom to go, you know, to the junior league and all of the things that they did. But in the summer, they would have all these kids home with them and they would be doing all this driving. Like, I don't know why as a teenager I was able to see this opportunity, but I was. And so about April or May, I would approach each of those moms and I would say, hey, summer is coming. I know that you like to play in the golf league and go out to lunch with your friends and all of those things. And when the kids are home, I would love to take care of your kids for the day so that you could schedule your haircut on that day, your lunch that day, you could play tennis or golf and go out to dinner with your husband once a week so you can have date night. And I will watch the kids from like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. because I had no problem working. Okay, as you can imagine, these mothers thought this was a brilliant idea because basically for, I don't know, I got like $5 an hour or something. So like for $75, they got there an entire day every week for themselves. And I created that desire in them to have this day. And then one of the families I babysat for had 4 kids. And by the time I was done, they had 5. So she is a smart whippersnapper. She had me 2 days a week. And thinking back on it, she had somebody who did laundry that came a couple days a week and she had her house clean. She was already used to hiring people. So to hire somebody to play with her kids was great too. And the kids loved me because I was a super, super fun babysitter. I babysat from the day I turned 12. Like the day I turned 12, I took that Red Cross babysitting course and I babysat from 12 all the way through college. I didn't have any other job except I worked at a baby store when I was a senior in high school. That's it, everything child focused. So I played games. I did homework with kids. I reorganized their bedrooms. I did their toy rooms. I would take them to the pool. We would go to movies. We would make homemade Play-Doh. I didn't cook then either, by the way. This family of 5 would laugh and they would joke because I would literally burn grilled cheese. So I was never good at cooking, but I was a super, super fun babysitter. I never talked on the phone. I never had boys over. I loved the kids I babysat for. So because I marketed these services to these other moms, as soon as I was a mom, I was looking around for somebody that would market these services to me. And I have almost always hired a mother's helper or a babysitter at least one day a week so that I can have that time for me and what I need to get done and know that the kids are being taken care of. So that is number one. Think about if a mother's helper or getting a babysitter one day a week would work for you. That takes one day a week off of the list of entertaining your children. Get a good babysitter, by the way. But also recognize that most babysitters like me that loved babysitting, really what we liked doing was pretending we were a mom for a day. And we were not sleep deprived, so it did not bother us. So when any of the moms that I babysat for would say, they never even said it because I just did it, could you clean out the kids' rooms or could you go over this math paper with them or could you whatever? That was all fine. I loved all of that. So if you need to just say what you want the mother's helper to do. Just say, you know, can you run a load of towels every time you're here? If the pool towels, the bath towels, it's very easy laundry for any teenager to do. They can wash the towels for you. That's going to save a couple of loads. Can you wash the dishes, run the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher? I'm sure they will. If you put it on the list, they're going to do it. So that's one way to get some extra time and to get one day off of your list. Did not mean to talk so long about that, but I loved being a babysitter. So I love it when people hire babysitters. Okay, if you work from home or you are a stay-at-home mom, you need to have some kind of a definition to your day. So hopefully you're able to afford one Mother's Day helper or babysitter day. That's going to be awesome for everybody and really add some dimension to your summer. I'm going to talk to you about 4 other kinds of days that you might want to consider having on your schedule. A pool day, an errand day, an all day at home, and a big event outside of the house day. So let's start with the pool day. If you belong to a pool, typically those pools open anywhere between 10 and noon. So on a pool day, our routine would look like this. Some of the questions I'm going to ask you are, how much screen time in general are your kids allowed to have? And then if you limit their screen time, how much screen time are they allowed on each of these kind of days? So on a pool day, we're going to be home until 10 or noon. Let's say you're going to go to the pool at 11. They're going to be home until 11. Can they watch TV that whole time? Or are they only allowed an hour of screen time? Decide. That's one of the things for that routine day. Also, if you're going to the pool, kids love to go to the pool. So on a pool day, I would encourage you to have the morning be independent time as long as your kids are old enough. So that's the morning where you can do your Bible study, work out, read a book, get some work done, do a big organizing task or whatever. You can have a chunk of time, let's say from 9 to 11 to work on your project, and the kids are going to independently work on something else, screen time, whatever they're doing. But everybody kind of has their own alone time from 9 to 11. So that's really your time to do whatever you want, because then you're going to load up the car, you're going to go to the pool. And I just know personally on a pool day, I would always say, well, we're going to go to the pool from 11 to 2 or 11 to 3 and then come home and have dinner. And 99% of the time, we ended up staying till 6, ordering pizza, going somewhere else. Like, the pool zaps all of your energy and brain power. So anything you think you were going to get done that evening, generally, in my case, did not get done. If that's the case, then maybe that just becomes your eat out night or your eat at the pool night or your order a pizza night. Go ahead and bake that into the routine. Now, one thing I want to say about these routines that we're making, you do not have to, I want you to make these routines and have these routines, but you do not have to share everything you know with your children. I have two very, very different children. One child, when I tell them we are going to do something and then we don't do it, it is like World War III around here. Like, you said we were going to go to the pool at noon and it is 12:05 and I cannot handle the fact that we are not at the pool yet. Or you look outside and it is thunderstorming. You said we're going to go to the pool. I'm like, the pool is closed. But you said. That child does not need to know anything you're doing until you're actually at the pool. Like, literally, until you are getting in the car and they have to put their swimsuit on, they do not need to know it's a pool day. Because them knowing it's a pool day and it not being a pool day will ruin your day. Now, the other child I have needs to know, like, at least 12 hours in advance. They need to know the night before what the plan for the next day is so that they literally can, like, program that in their brain. And so they need to know, hey, tomorrow we're going to have a morning day. You can do what you want in the morning. We're going to leave the house at 11:45 and we're going to go to the pool at noon. They need that processing time in order to think, okay, I'm going to be able to do what I want until noon, and then I need to do what mom wants at noon. And that thing today is going to be the pool. And they need to know, when do I get my time? Like, this child really likes to have their own independent time. And if you fill their day to capacity, then they're very frustrated. The other child would love for you to fill their day to capacity. So know your children. These routine days are for you, are for your planning. Now, I would, if you know it's a sunny day and you're going to the pool, I would have a pool day morning routine. And, you know, if kids really do like to see it written down. So if you know what you're doing until noon, you could just say, here's our morning routine today. Your one child knows it's because you're going to the pool at noon. The other child has no idea what you're doing at noon. They just know that this is the morning routine for the day, so they're able to do this. On the biggest thing with kids in the summer, and you also, is food. When am I getting fed? And what am I eating? In the summertime, we buy a lot more fun and snackable foods in our house. So knowing when snack time is, having a snack time on the calendar, having breakfast, having lunch, having dinner, having a bedtime snack on the calendar really does help. The second kind of day that everyone needs is an errand day. You can eliminate a lot of an errand day by just buying from Amazon like I do. This might also be a great time for you to try. I'm personally using the Walmart pickup service. I love it. It's super fast. It's super close and convenient to my house. There's no extra fee. I try to tip them. They're not allowed to take a tip. So there's no extra charge for me using the Walmart service. And Walmart does not have, you know, like a coupon card where you lose out on the coupons because you didn't go in the store. So I'm basically paying the same price as I do in the store. And at our Walmart, like, I could put anything on the list, like Epsom salt, secret deodorant, the specific lipstick that I want. Like, if it's in that store, they will get it for me and bring it to my car. And I absolutely love that. So coming up with some kind of a errand day. You can eliminate a lot of your errand day by now is a great time in the summer to figure out online automation of things. This summer, my goal is to change all our bills over to automatic payment. I actually still pay all of our bills every week. So that's something I'm going to work on. But you're going to need an errand day. Some of you may want an errand day every single week. I tend to do an errand day about every 3 to 4 weeks. Because I order so much online and because my husband does all of the grocery shopping, I don't have to do an errand day very often. Make a list for what is errand day. I also, when my kids were younger and my husband would know everything got bought on Tuesday, so they would put their requests in by Monday night. If you didn't do so and you asked me on Wednesday, you had to wait until the next Tuesday. That's just how the money and the finances and the time worked at that time in our life. If you're a person who likes to do a load of laundry a day, you are going to have an errand day every week. If you're the kind of person who could do all of the laundry on Saturday and Sunday for the week, you would not mind an errand day once a month. You're able to batch your tasks more. So think about that. So on an errand day, does that mean the kids stay with the sitter? Does it mean that the kids come in the car and you've got a new movie from the library that you're going to play in the car on the little TV thing if you have one? Does it mean that they get to go to the dollar store that day and they have $2 to spend? Does it mean that errand day has the dollar store and McDonald's for lunch and the library, but in between each of those is three errands, and the kids just know we're going to get in the car, we're going to get our sippy cups, we're going to get our notebooks to color in, and mom's going to run three errands, and then we get to get McDonald's, and then three errands, and then we're going to the library, and then three errands, and then we get to go to the dollar store. And make it just kind of a routine that you do every single week or every other week or how often it is, and the kids will be just fine with it. The next kind of a day is a home day. This is my favorite kind of day, actually. It's where you spend the entire day at home. I love these days because this is when I could get a big project done, a big organizing project, a big scrapbooking project, organize the kids' rooms, whatever. Like, I have a big home-based project. I love it. My kids, one of them loves it. The other one, not so much. They both like being at home. They just get bored. So depending on your child's temperament, depending on their age, depending on all of those things, couple of things. On those days, you get the majority of the time to do what you want to do and do a big project at home without driving around. So everybody knows this is a home day. Don't ask me to drive to your friend's house. Don't ask me if we could go get fast food. Don't ask me if we can go to the pool. We're going to be home on this day. Put a schedule of when all of the eating times are going to be. Here's the snacks. Here's the lunch. You know, here's the time. We're going to break and do that. Here's how much screen time you're allowed to have. Now, for this day to be super successful, I highly suggest you have some special or new activity. So maybe it's a toy they don't normally play with that you pull out. Maybe you're going to make homemade Play-Doh in the morning. Then they're going to have that to play with and you're going to go work on your project. By the way, I'll put my recipe for homemade Play-Doh in here. Let me write it down. I love homemade Play-Doh. I make it on the stove. It lasts forever. Children of all ages, including me, love to play with Play-Doh. So Play-Doh is a great thing to do in the summer. It does not cost a lot of money. The other idea I have for this, a home day is great after the library. And at the library, get movies, get books, get whatever. You'll have some extra new things there. Also, on your home day, you may have found like those, I see them advertised on Instagram all the time, and I want to get them just for me. They're like these science kits where you're able to learn like all these science experiments or any of those kind of subscription boxes. Maybe you have your school has like busy bags that go home over the summer and you do the busy bags or something like that. Some kind of an activity or something that's different and new that you're going to do after lunch. So lunch is going to be at 12:30 and at 1 we're going to do our science thing. Maybe you stop doing your project and we do the science thing together for half an hour or the busy bag for half an hour or the game for half an hour. And then we go off and do our own things again. Your kids will give you time to work on your own projects as long as they know they get some of your time too. And the more new and interesting and novel the thing that you offer your time with, the longer satiated they are after that event. Again, on a home day, maybe this is a day that you're always going to eat at home and you're going to have tacos for dinner or something like that. Like, figure out what the home-based thing is going to be. All right, let's talk about big event days. Like, this would be going to a amusement park or going to see an attraction or going to spend the day at grandma's and you're traveling to do that. A big event day. What I would do on that day is prepare the night before as much as possible. Fill your car with gas, everything that you're going to need for that day. Plan your snacks, plan your food, plan what you'll be eating when you get home. Also look to the day after your big live event that you're going to and see, what do I need to prepare now? Let's say it's Tuesday. Tuesday night, you're going to pack your car. Wednesday, you're going to be gone all day. What do you also need ready on Thursday morning? Maybe Thursday morning is a work day or pool day or whatever. Make sure you're also preparing for Thursday morning on Tuesday night to make that most successful.